Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, everyone. So glad to see all of you here this morning, especially on this special Sunday, Palm Sunday. A few announcements I will begin with. First of all, just a reminder that following today's service, we will be having our Love Feast service. And so I pray that many of you can stay and participate in that and look forward to that. Thanks for the deacon's work in getting
that ready. And look forward to that service. And that will happen just directly after our morning worship service. So those that will participate in that will kind of go out and just head right on into the fellowship hall. And we'll begin shortly after the closing of our morning service. Also, just a reminder that next Sunday, of course, Easter Sunday, a lot going on there. One particular thing is, of course, the Easter sunrise service. Hope that you can come out for that. It's going to be at Natural Chimneys, 7 a.m. I'll be sharing in that service. And then, of course, we have Easter Sunday here as well. And part of that will be the Easter breakfast that the youth will be serving here. That starts at 9 a.m. And I hope that you come out and participate in that. There'll be some good food. I think some things are listed there. Looks good to me. And they'll be taking and receiving a free will offering for the children's ministry here at Moscow for that. So I hope that you take advantage of these services, these opportunities of worship right here at Easter. Also, later on today, we will have the Lenten service again at Sangersville Church of the Brethren. It starts at 6 o'clock. Soup and sandwich, and then 7 o'clock worship. This Sunday is kind of special because the combined choir will be singing. So the different people from different churches and that North River ministerial group have come together and worked up three songs. So I hope that you come and at least enjoy that, be a part of that. 6 o'clock and worship at 7. Also, just one other thing here, just a reminder about that carnival fundraiser. That will be April the 22nd. I don't know, it doesn't have it on there right yet, but we'll get that. I think it's April the 22nd. There's a flyer that is posted on the bulletin board. If you have more questions about that, it has all the information on there. Again, it's just a fundraiser for Isabel Fox. And we're hoping that that will do good to help her with medical expenses. The youth will be helping with that. I think we're going to be doing some food and participating in some of the games, helping with that. So we're really excited about it, and we really want it to be a success. So get the word out, and please share that with others. Any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Janet? Yes.
We're always happy to have visitors, so we would encourage you to fill this out and just drop it in the offering plate as it comes by.
Right. We've updated it since our name changed. We have to update all the other things to go along with that. And Janet, thank you for getting those updated and appreciate your work on that. Also, note that the women's prayer breakfast, there's a sign-up sheet on the kitchen door if you'd like to participate in that. It's Saturday, April 15th. Just be sure to sign up for that so that they know, kind of have an idea how many people will be coming to that women's prayer breakfast. Go ahead.
I just want to remind everybody that the directory pictures are coming to an end. I've got the camera set up right at the church right before the love feast. So if anybody wants to take a couple of quick pictures, I can do some before the love feast. Next Sunday after church, I think we'll cut it off.
Okay.
There.
All righty.
And then I start picking it all together.
Thank you, Alan, for your work on that. Again, he just shared a couple minutes real quickly after church. He's going to take some photos. If you hadn't got your photo taken yet, please do. We really want to get everyone pictured in that. It's so nice to be able to put face and name together. Sometimes we know names or we know faces. We don't know names. And so it's nice to be able to see that. So thank you, Alan, again. Appreciate your work on that. Anyone else? Lee?
We were told that we kind of messed up our lids during
that Lenten service meal.
That was
yeah.
March 12th,
uh-huh.
And we got lids on the wrong crock pot.
Yes.
So if anybody has
Okay.
Let them know or bring it to us because we got one that does.
Okay.
We can get that straight.
Yeah. If you didn't hear that, just see Lee if you and check your crock pot. If you participated in the meal for the Lenten service, there's been a mix-up, and so they just want to get that straightened out. Thank you, Lee.
Bruce, was it a round crock pot?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Yeah, round cover. So, anyone else? All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, in which we come worship, we come celebrating, Lord. It's a special Sunday, Palm Sunday, Lord. We remember as you entered into Jerusalem, Lord, they waved palm branches and just shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. Lord, we sing Hosanna, Hosanna this morning. We praise you. We glorify your Son, Jesus, as he's so deserving of our praise and worship. We just offer up that praise to him this morning, and we just love him. Thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus. Lord, he was willing to come to suffer, to die upon a cross. And Lord, we know he rose again from the grave. Lord, to just prove to us your love for each one of us. Lord, we thank you for that. And we offer up that worship here this morning. We praise his name. In the name of Jesus, we pray this together. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. I know our eyes were all drawn to the beautiful scene up here. Thanks to the program and arrangements team for the pretty display that they shared, and the Ogorics as well for the flowers. Thank you so much. Okay, this call to worship coming from portions of Romans chapter 5 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ Jesus came at just the right time and died for us sinners. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Let's turn to hymnal page 173. All glory, laud, and honor. Page 173. Continue to have on your prayer list. Certainly, we want to keep Billy Ware in our prayers as we get closer to that April 11th date. Billy will be having surgery on his back, very serious surgery, and so we just continue to pray anointing upon him and prayers of healing upon him, and just praying that this surgery will be a success and go good. So if you would just continue to lift Billy up in prayer in the coming days. Also, if you would continue to keep Kenny Morgan's mother, Kay, in your prayers. We want to continue to lift up her and just pray for her wellness and for her comfort, and certainly pray for Kenny and his family as well during this time. Also, if you would put on your prayer list the name Corey Knight. That is the son-in-law of Kevin and Bambi Dean. And he was taken to the hospital, and they thought he might have had just a mini stroke. And he's only like 31. So if you would just be in prayer for Corey, for Courtney as well, and for their family, and just pray that this is something that they can solve and get him the help that is needed. So they appreciate all your prayers for Corey. Also, I think in our prayers this past week was the shooting situation that happened at the Christian school. Our hearts go out to those families that lost those loved ones. Three children, three adults were killed in that tragic situation. Our prayers are with those families for their loss this morning. I know that that I couldn't imagine the grief and pain that they're dealing with. But our hearts go out to them, and we just pray for God's comfort and love during this time. We know that they have Christ to comfort them, and that's our prayer at this time for them. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time?
Nancy Wade.
Nancy Wade. Okay.
Yeah, they did surgery on her.
Okay.
They did a tumor for
Okay. All right. Nancy Wade. Thank you for sharing that. Other prayer requests or praises? Robin?
I'd like to say thank you.
Yes.
For the prayers for going.
Yes.
Dr. Neal said that everything went very well. I know in 3 months when they take the patch out to see how it
feels. Yep. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Glad we're so thankful that surgery went well, and to hear that good result. We know God is working, and just pray that now the healing takes place and Kelly's back to normal. So.
He said when we were walking out of the hospital, he didn't hear a little bit.
Ah, praise the Lord. Yes. Yeah, praise the Lord. What a blessing.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Robin, for sharing that update. And we just continue to pray for Kelly and lift him up in our prayers. And for the healing there that God is doing through that surgery. So, thank you, Robin. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to have our ushers come forward now and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Nancy, thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we offer up to you this morning our praise and our thanks. Again, Lord, this Palm Sunday, Lord, we just rejoice. We rejoice in receiving your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he walked in that day into Jerusalem. Lord, we know that he wasn't just walking into that celebration, but he was walking towards the cross. Lord, he was headed on a mission, Lord, that he was going to die upon a cross for the sins of the world, our sins. And Lord, we thank you for that willingness, that he was dedicated. His desire was to save us, and Lord, he knew that through the cross he would accomplish that. Lord, we thank you. We praise his name here this morning. We rejoice in Jesus, who is our salvation. Jesus, who is our hope. Jesus, who is our hope over death and the grave. Jesus, who has promised us riches and treasures that await us, Lord, in heaven. And the eternal life, Lord, our reward. Father, we thank you for Jesus. All things are made possible in and through him. And Lord, all praise is due his name. We praise the name of Jesus. No other name by where we must be saved, but through the name of Jesus. And Lord, we offer up our praise for him here this morning. Lord, we offer up those as well on our prayer list, those names mentioned, Lord. Lord, we know there's lots of names still not mentioned, but there are those names upon our heart. And Father, we offer them to you this morning that your will might be done, and that, Lord, you will continue to work miracles, even as we read in the Scriptures. Lord, we know you are a miracle-working God. And Lord, that's what we pray. Father, we pray that you receive this offering as just a wonderful aroma into your throne room. Lord, we just pray that you are blessed by our tithing and our offering, our willingness and our desire to bless you through our giving. And Lord, I pray too that you continue to bless those that give. Lord, we know that we receive more than we give. And Lord, we thank you so much for that. Bless us, I pray as well, during this time together. Watch over us, Lord, and just have your Spirit move within our heart and our mind to draw us closer to you, closer to your cross, Lord, and closer to that celebration and worship that you desire. Father, we just praise you now. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Two praises. One is the praise of the Easter egg hunt that was here yesterday. Just a praise for all the work that went into that, and just thankful how well it went. We didn't have quite as many kids as the years past. I think a lot of it was due to some of the weather and just a lot of activities going on. I know some other churches were having similar activities, but we really had a great time, had a good turnout. And all the kids came away with a smile on their face. And so what a praise that was. The other praise is that I get to call on the choir to come forward now. And just how blessed I am to have, and we are, to have them come and share with us. So I'll call on the choir now to come forward and share in song. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Janet and Nancy. We're blessed to have such a wonderful choir. And I don't say that because I'm in it, but we really have some nice voices, and thanks for all their work. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Just a reminder now, next Sunday there will be no children's church or youth Sunday school since it's Easter. So just a reminder, but this Sunday we will, and so they can be dismissed. If you have your Bible, why don't you turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 9. Looking at one verse here. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Just one verse here. Really very interesting verse. Kind of comes right in the middle of Luke. Seems to be a changing point in the ministry of Jesus. As we see here, Luke 9, 51. It says, "Now, and it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up," that's speaking of Jesus, "that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." He steadfastly set his face to go towards Jerusalem. You know, when somebody sets their face to something, I don't know if that's a very familiar term today, is it? We wouldn't normally say, "I set my face to go to Bridgewater," or "I set my face to go to Harrisonburg." That's not something that would be a phrase that we would use. But in that time, if a person was saying, or they were commenting, making the point that someone is setting their face to do something, that means that they are determined. They're resolute. Their intent is to do something. They're committed to something. They are absolutely certain about what they are going to do. And Jesus at this point set his face towards Jerusalem. And so we see there that he was intent. He was determined to go to Jerusalem. Well, why was he going to Jerusalem? Well, we know Jesus was going to Jerusalem because there he would be received with palm branches, right? And then later on that week, they would be yelling, "Crucify him," and he would be crucified and would die for the sins of the world. And so we see here, it's really a turning point, I think, in the ministry of Jesus, that at this point, he is steadfastly setting his face that he is going to Jerusalem. You know, the crucifixion of Christ, the death of Christ, is not an accident. Some people might think, well, he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or his ministry just made certain people upset that this was the result. It was an accident. It was just by chance that this thing happened to Jesus. But that's not so, is it? This verse shows us that Jesus knows exactly what he's going for. He chose the cross, didn't he? This was not something that was just by mere chance. But Jesus sets his face. He is determined. He is committed. He knows exactly what is waiting for him in Jerusalem. He knows what's going to happen. Notice there it says, "It came to pass the time that had come for him to be received up." Isn't that an interesting word? Another interpretation of that could be to be taken up. And that could be looked at several different ways. I kind of think of Jesus being raised up as there upon the cross. Even that language is speaking about Jesus knowing what awaited for him in Jerusalem, that he was going to be crucified. And yet he determines within himself that that's the thing that I'm going to do. I'm committed to that. I have chose the cross. Really, when he When you think of Jesus choosing the cross, what's really being said is he's choosing you. That's the choice that he makes. He's choosing the cross because he has chosen you. He loves you. I don't think the cross is something that he wanted to endure. Nobody wants to be put to death. Nobody wants to be crucified on a Roman cross. The most heinous way for a person to be put to death. The Romans were experts in torture. And the Roman cross was the pinnacle of making a person suffer. They knew how to make someone be in anguish. No one sought to die on a cross. But Jesus chose the cross, didn't he? He chose that because he chose us. He chose us. And he was willing to die upon a cross for each one of us. Verse 56, if you look just a little bit farther ahead, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, the Bible says. But to save them. He came to save, didn't he? And he sets his face, he chooses to go to Jerusalem so that he might save us from our sin. This kind of brings us up to Palm Sunday, doesn't it? Really, his going to Jerusalem. He sets his face to go to Jerusalem. And this Sunday, Palm Sunday, is when we celebrate him entering in to Jerusalem, being received, and kind of the start of Holy Week is what we call this within the church. The most holiest, the holiest week within the church. And I pray that each of you will take some time this week to contemplate what him coming to Jerusalem, what his devotion to dying upon a cross means for you. I hope that you take each day this week and maybe just focus on another aspect, another part of Jesus' week there in Jerusalem. And I'm going to give you some ideas here. I'm going to break down your week, and I'll give you some topics and maybe where you can spend some time thinking and praying this week and focusing your worship throughout the week of Holy Week upon Jesus there in Jerusalem. On Monday, I thought about the multitudes. That kind of reminds us of Palm Sunday today. But really, the multitudes received him, didn't they? They celebrated him. You know, the Holy Week or the Passion Week begins with celebration. And you would think it would end with mourning, but really it ends with more celebration, doesn't it? Because Jesus is not left in the grave. When those ladies come to the grave that morning, they don't find Jesus there. In the tomb, but they find the stone rolled away, don't they? And so our Holy Week starts with celebration. It ends with celebration. I think it should be a time of celebration. And so we start the week with the celebration, even remembering the celebration of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And they waved palm branches. They shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they sang celebration unto Jesus receiving. You know, palm branch is really a symbol of victory, isn't it? They would do that when a king would ride back in from battle and they had victory. They would celebrate and they would wave palm branches as a symbol of their victory. And Jesus is victorious. And he is our victory. And we celebrate that. Psalms 150 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I want you to be praising the Lord this week. Monday, think about the multitude. Think about the praising. And I want you to enter into praising Jesus this week. Praising God for what he has accomplished. Spend time in prayer. And spend time in prayer praising God. And the praise that he certainly deserves. Okay, Tuesday I was thinking about the testing. The testing of Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that Jesus was under a heavy burden there in the garden, wasn't he? The thought of going to the cross, even the thought of being separated from God, taking on the sins of the world, the Bible says was so great upon Jesus, the stress was so great that he sweat great drops of blood. It's a physical thing that can still happen if you're under a great load of stress. Your blood vessels can actually break in such a way that you would sweat blood. And so we see this testing that Jesus was under there in the garden. It was no easy thing to go to the cross. And yet Jesus was willing to do that for us. Also, we know that I think Jesus was being tempted there by Satan in the garden. Jesus even makes a prayer. If there be some other way, he says to God, let this cup pass. That is, if there's some other way, God, that I can accomplish the mission of salvation from having to endure the suffering of the cross, let that be. But of course, God's answer was that he was to die upon the cross. The Bible says that an angel of the Lord strengthened Jesus there in that moment. God ministered unto Jesus there in the garden and helped him in that moment of weakness. You know, one thing to think about is that in that moment of weakness, when Jesus was depending upon his disciples to be in prayer for strength, that they failed. They fell asleep. They fell asleep, didn't they? He came back, was disappointed that his disciples were not joining together with him in prayer for that which was to come. So, Tuesday, take time to remember the temptation, the trials that Jesus endured there in Gethsemane. On Wednesday, I thought about the wicked betrayal of Judas then. You know, what shortly after he was in prayer there that Judas came and betrayed Jesus. Remember, for 30 measly pieces of silver, Judas betrayed his Lord. I think we have to remember on Wednesday that our devotion to God, our devotion to God needs to be real, not half-hearted like that of Judas. We see that Judas betrayed his Lord and Savior. For what? For some silver. The Bible says, 1 John 4:10, he is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loves us and he was willing to die. And here we see that his own disciple betrayed him. Isaiah wrote in Psalms 53:3-5, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, the Bible says, we are healed. Thursday, I think it's good to focus on the trial and the treatment of Jesus. Spend some time remembering the suffering. And a lot of times this is referred to as the Passion of the Christ. I don't know how many of you have watched the movie, The Passion of the Christ. I tell you, just to watch it once is enough to burn your mind of all the suffering that Jesus took upon himself for us. The Bible talks about that, you know, he was beaten to where his bones shone through his skin. And so the Romans were experts, again, at torture. They knew how to make a person hurt. And Jesus was scourged. They placed a crown of thorns, probably inch or two-inch thorns upon his head. Then they blindfolded him. Then they beat him in the head with a rod, kind of beating that crown down upon his brow. Can you imagine? They pulled his beard out by grabbing hands of hair and ripping it from his face. They beat him in the face. The cat of nine tails was a whip that had nine pieces of leather that was sewn into it, glass, shards of metal, anything that would cut and hurt a person. And they would tie a person up and then scourge them upon the back. And this thing, when it hit the back, it didn't bounce off. It dug in. And they could pull the flesh literally off the bone. Jesus would have been covered in blood from head to foot. It says in the scriptures in the Old Testament that he was not recognizable even as a man. His face was so swelled. Think on Thursday of the trial and the treatment. And then, of course, as he came to the cross, they took his hands and nailed it. And they took his feet and nailed it to the cross. On Friday, I want you to remember the finished work of Jesus. Even upon the cross, remember he spoke those words, "It is finished." It is finished. It says that Jesus hung upon the cross for 6 hours. 6 hours in agony. 6 hours he hung there. And around the 6th hour, it says that darkness came upon the land around 3 p.m., it says. And upon the 6th hour, when Jesus, knowing that all things were completed, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." And they gave him a vessel of sour wine. They put it on a sponge, and they placed it to his mouth. And when he had received it, he said those words, "It is finished." What was finished? Well, the payment for sin, right? His payment for our sin was finished there upon the cross. He finished that work. I want you to remember on Friday, Good Friday, of his willingness and his suffering there upon the cross, but then the finished work that we receive through his suffering and his death. And then on Saturday, I want you to think about the saving grace of Jesus. Again, you're ending on celebration, aren't you? That through that suffering, through his willingness to die upon a cross, that we are saved. Amen? We've received salvation through that suffering. He was willing to endure all that so that at the end, we would be rejoicing and thanking God that our sins have been paid for. Our sins are finished, that division between us and God is over. The veil was ripped, it says, from top to bottom, pointing out that separation between us and God no longer existed. But now that we could enter into this new relationship, this new friendship with God because of Christ Jesus and the saving grace of Christ upon the cross. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that anyone would boast." Who do we boast in? It's not ourself. It's not our own works, is it? We don't boast in those things. We boast in the cross. We boast in Christ and his finished work thereupon. Praise God. Those are just some simple things you can think of this week. I pray that you take advantage of Holy Week. Don't just go about your busy week as you normally do. This is different. This week is different. This week is different. It's Holy Week. And come Sunday, we're going to be celebrating Easter. This week is different. Spend time in prayer this week. Really make this week different. Don't just go about your week like normal. Come Monday, start to remember the multitudes, the praising, the celebration, then the trials. and then the wickedness of Judas. And then remember his testing, his triumph on the cross, his finished work upon the cross. Spend some time this week in prayer and worship and praise. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for Holy Week. Lord, we thank you that we have a week like this in our life, that, Lord, we can celebrate all the good things that have been accomplished for us through your Son, Jesus. Lord, you didn't have to send your Son here to earth. He didn't have to die upon a cross. He didn't have to set his face towards Jerusalem and choose to be lifted up upon a cross. He didn't have to do any of these things. Lord, you didn't have to do any of these things. Lord, we wouldn't have this week of celebration if you didn't choose to do this for us. And Lord, we thank you that we do have Holy Week, that we do have this account of Jesus coming to Jerusalem and committing himself to dying upon the cross for our sins. Lord, we celebrate, we worship you, we rejoice in you because, Lord, we have this. You have given it to us. And Lord, any one of us can receive that blessed salvation now, not by what we do, not by earning it, not by being good enough, but by believing and faith that you have done these things for us. That's it. That's what your scripture tells us. And Lord, we just thank you for that. What a true gift we have been given. And Lord, we just thank you for that gift. Bless us, I pray, this Holy Week. Allow us to spend some time in prayer and devotion to you. Might we get upon our knees even? Get upon our knees this week and seek you in prayer. Lord, that's what you desire. Lord, that's how you are glorified. Lord, that makes your devotion and your sacrifice of your Son upon the cross all worth it. If we just come to you, humbly seeking you with our whole selves. Lord, I know you rejoice in that. And I just pray that that's what we do as a church this week. That we really, truly commit ourselves, devote ourselves to that worship. Help us, I pray, in that. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to have our closing hymn. And if you turn in your hymnal to page 185, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," we'll come together and close on that hymn. Page 185. Let's stand together and sing. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we go this week, Lord, into Holy Week, I just pray again that your Spirit is with us, that you're drawing us closer to your cross, to your blessed side. Lord, we just thank you again for your Son, Jesus. We praise his name here together. Walk with us this week, I pray, until we gather again on Easter Sunday and we rejoice again at that good news that you have, Lord, have risen up from the dead, that you are alive. Lord, we look forward to Easter. Bless us this week, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen.